Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1701, air date July 10th, 2026.
All right, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Adrian. And I want to let everyone know as we share every Thursdays, it is our town hall. And today's topic is about the fact that our movement has gotten us on the ballot. In fact, we're the first candidate on the ballot for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts 2026. And this was made possible not by raising tens of millions of dollars. As many of you know, I'm running as an independent for U.S. Senate. The opposing competitors are a Republican and a Democrat. The Democrat by the name of, I'm not even going to give them any publicity, Democrat and a Republican, okay? But the interesting thing is they've raised tens of millions of dollars and they yet have gotten on the ballot, okay? They're still not on the ballot. We're the first candidate on the ballot. That's a significant victory. And it's a victory for everyone on this call and everyone who's involved in our movement, because hundreds of people mobilized, thousands of people to pledge for us, thousands of people to start volunteering. Volunteers have made phone calls from all over the world. Our movement's a global movement, and people recognize that the election for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts is part of that global movement to build a bottoms-up independent movement. So that's pretty compelling. And the other thing is we had people come in not only from Massachusetts to collect signatures, I'll explain that, but also all over the country. And so that shows that the consciousness of people who participate in a movement is a very high level, that they recognize that they have to be agents of change. So just to give you an idea here, I did a short video on this, but if you guys can see this here, here is the actual, this is what they give you, okay? It's from the Secretary of State. You know, we give people, they take billions of our tax dollars, and this is what they give you to certify that you are a candidate for U.S. Senate. But notice the key number is this number right here. It says we got 10,044 signatures. You need 10,000 to get on the ballot, but our volunteers are out there still continuing to collect more signatures. And it says we're on the ballot, but we're the first candidate on the ballot. In order to get these 10,044 signatures, as I've explained before, and we actually play fair, we don't cheat. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So in order to get on the ballot, you have, as a candidate, you have to go get signatures from citizens in Massachusetts who say, yeah, I want that guy on the ballot, okay? And how many signatures do you need? Well, you need, according to this, 10,000 signatures. But what does that really mean? Not, you can't just give them 10,000 signatures. They have to be certified signatures. What does that mean? Well, Massachusetts is the most difficult state to get on the ballot in the entire United States. All right. And it's important to explain the mechanics and what the swarm, the establishment does to keep the riffraff like us out. They don't want anyone actually ever even getting on the ballot. That's where the election fraud starts. Who gets on the ballot? Who gets publicity? Who gets visibility? Who gets on the debate stage? Et cetera, right? We've talked about this. But so in order to get on the ballot, if any one of you wanted to get on the ballot in Massachusetts, you got to get 10,000 certified signatures. By who? The Secretary of State of Massachusetts. So here's the Secretary of State of Massachusetts. They have to certify these signatures. And what are we talking about? Well, here is an actual nomination petition. You know, it's got my name up here and it says I'm running for Senate. And at the bottom of it, you notice it's got the city where the citizen who signed the signature is from. So what does this mean? There are 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts. Okay. So if Marianne is collecting signatures for the campaign and she's standing, typically you have to go to a food store. It's the best place. People are coming in and out and you got to get signatures. Well, if people are going in and out of that food store, let's say in town, I live in the town of, let's say, Belmont. It's not everyone in Belmont goes to that food store. You may have people from Arlington or Cambridge, right? 20 other local town people come there. So if you're filling out this sheet and someone's from Belmont, great, they can do that. But someone says, no, I'm from Cambridge. Then you got to go get a sheet that says Cambridge and put their name on it. No, I'm from Arlington. Oh, okay, then you got to get this. So you're literally carrying around on your clipboard like 20 different of these. And you got to flip it real fast, find their town, get their name. And you got to make sure they put their name and where they're registered at. So it's a lot of effort, okay? Because you got to, first of all, you have to get them to come over to you. They have to sign. You have to put it on the right sheet. Does this make sense? Then after you get all these sheets, you got to go home and sort them. So now you got 20 towns, okay? Then you got to take all the signatures that were for Cambridge. You got to drive over to the Cambridge City Hall. All the ones for Arlington, you got to go over there. So you're driving around, that's like 2 days of effort just driving around, dropping off these signatures. And you have to go when the town halls are open. These are government bureaucrats. We went to one town. They're only open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Wednesdays, except 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So it's like crazy what you have to do. Okay, then you have to drop off the signatures. Then you have to keep following up with them. Hey, did you certify them? Did you certify them? And what do they do when they certify them? They literally read the signature and then the address, and they look it up in a database. And they have a lot of discretion. They can say, oh, this signature is not written correctly. Oh, it is, right? So they can really screw with you. So anyway, then they, on the back of it, if you submit like this sheet, if you notice, allows 25 signatures. I don't know if you guys can see this here. So you submit 25 signatures, you assume 70% will get certified. So in order to collect 10,000 certified, you're going to have to get 10,000 certified from all these towns, you're going to have to collect around 15,000 signatures. Does that make sense? Last year, we actually collected 23,000 in 13 days. Okay. So anyway, that's what it takes. A lot of effort. Now, during this process, you have to stand out there in the cold and the rain, the heat, and you have to interact with people. So you learn a lot, right? You learn why people want to sign, why they don't. And so we collect all those signatures, go to the towns, wait 2 to 3 weeks. Then we have to go drive around, pick them back up, bookkeep all of them, and then take all that, drive over to Boston, which is like $50 in parking fees just to park, and they have to go up to the stupid floor up there, wait, and then they count your signatures, and every day they give you a little sheet of where you're at, the scorecard. So we did this with our own volunteers. Now, what's really fascinating is, and others will tell you, and I think Barb is here, Nicholas is here, I don't know if Hunter's here, we've never seen any of the other candidates ever collecting signatures. And I can say this, when I ran against Elizabeth Warren, I've never seen them collecting signatures. And if they did collect signatures, it may have been one guy that came out there for 5 minutes and he leaves. That's it. And more importantly, the people that are collecting signatures are being paid to collect signatures. So these people actually have no ground support. They don't have any real volunteers. I remember going to one event where I saw someone show up, a volunteer in a bus, put on one candidate's t-shirt to do some work. And then I saw the same guy, like an hour later, put on a t-shirt of another guy. So these people have no support. It's all just pay to play. So it is my view now, having seen none of these people collect signatures, I believe there's a boiler room. They have the registration data, and they are just paying somebody to fill out these forms. That's my theory, okay? But we got on the ballot legitimately with the hard work of, our people calling people to mobilize people, getting volunteers. So it was a multidimensional effort, but our movement helped get this, period. And we're the first ones on the ballot. And we've only raised around 20 grand. I think Ed Markey's raised, you know, seven figures. The other guys raised seven figures, okay? I think Ed Markey's probably raised eight figures, okay? But the reason I wanted to share this is this shows what happens if you have a high degree of consciousness of people, that people power can do a lot. And that's what this is really about. Our movement's about raising people's consciousness. The other piece that we want to let everyone know is that we have standing now. We're an official candidate for U.S. Senate, certified by the Secretary of State of Massachusetts. No one else is. And what's really funny is a prick who's one of the media guys on one of the NBC shows, he's already started debates with the other two candidates who aren't even candidates. Mike Mosca went on one of the AI tools and he said, who are the candidates running for U.S. Senate? The AI tool doesn't even mention us. None of the other people are even candidates. So you see how this works. Meanwhile, I represent the supermajority of Massachusetts citizens. 65% of Massachusetts citizens are independents, registered independents. I'm a registered independent. We're running as independents. This minority, the 28% of Republicans in Massachusetts and 28% of Democrats, maybe on a good day, 6% Republicans, they're not even the majority. So the amount of propaganda, the amount of manipulation, engineering that they're doing to brainwash people is what's going on. I had some AC work in my house and the two AC guys, I showed them our flyer. Maybe someone could show it. They got it. They said, we're all voting for you. Give us flyers. Because that flyer that we've created makes people reflect. We're not trying to force people, convince people. If someone can bring it up, the flyer says 65% of Massachusetts is independent, yet you're voting for the minority, Democrats and Republicans. Why? And it basically is forcing. So if you see this, I've gone over this, but to the new people, that's what the flyer says, 65%. And we did it old school, black and white, yet we keep voting Republican, Democrat. And if you zoom in, I don't know who's driving this, Suresh, if it's you, if you click on that, you can see it says, look what voting for them has gotten us. Hold on, oh, wait. Okay, it says, look for voting them has gotten us. If you zoom in, it gives the destruction what's going on in Massachusetts. And says, only we, the 65%, can end this, vote independent. And it says, a choice, choices we make reflect the world we create. So nowhere on here does it say vote for Dr. Shiva. What we are doing with this flyer, it's a educational flyer. It's a public service announcement. It's saying, hey, you, this is the fact. 65% are independent. What are you doing with your life? What you get is coming from the choices you make. So it's a very profound flyer. And then it has my credentials on the right, as I've shared before. And it's basically telling people you have choices in life. What choices are you making? And don't whine and complain if your bridges are crumbling, if your elections are, you know, failing and you're getting sicker and sicker and sicker because the healthcare system's not working. Because you have the ability to be free, yet you keep not actually being part of the independent process that you claim you want to be. And then it provides what we're going to provide, right? Below here. So that's what we're doing. We are putting a mirror. Go up to the top again. We're putting a mirror up to people. And we want to attract, make sure people raise their consciousness. That's what we're doing. And we're showing through action, hey, look, we got on the ballot. We didn't have to raise $10 million, $20,000 from independent people. We're on the ballot. Think about what you can do if you participate. Thanks, if you can stop sharing that. So this Saturday, we're holding a barbecue in Cambridge. You can go to the site. You can come to it. We have Gerard, I just found out, is driving all the way from Gerald, all the way from Pennsylvania to help hand out flyers. Barb just came in from Florida. We have captains we've assigned from Massachusetts to different parts. But that flyer is lightning in a bottle. Anyone listening to this, you're all welcome to come to Massachusetts and help hand out flyers. And it's a very powerful experience because it's a little piece of paper, black and white, and all you have to do is interact with people, you, the individual, and the goal is to get that flyer into people's hands. That's what we're doing. So we have, we designed the flyers. We have volunteers who've helped us print it. And we have a ton of them coming here. And we're launching on this Saturday. And that flyer is our focus, you know, on the ground. And then we have lots of people from all over the world making calls. This is truly a bottoms-up campaign. And it's about people power. So everyone here is welcome to come to Massachusetts. And if you can't come to Massachusetts, you can get on the phone and call people in Massachusetts to vote for us or become volunteers to help us hand out flyers. So there's a bunch of things everyone can do. It's a lot of fun. You get to talk to people. The other piece is, you know, we have filed a lawsuit exposing the fact that the Republicans and the Democrats collude to not even enforce the election laws that were set up nearly 50 years ago that you're not supposed to delete ballot images. And we've shown now by the lack of any response from the Trump administration after a judge said Trump should send a letter to Secretary of State to stop deleting them, Trump has done nothing, which exposes the fact that the Republicans and Democrats collude. And if I were to do a skit, imagine if we did a skit right now, and I said, Chris, you're the godfather for the Republicans. And I said, Gerald, you're the godfather for the Democrats. And this is how this discussion goes. Okay, Chris, you get to have the racism issue. Gerald, you get to have the immigration issue. Chris, you get to have the environment issue. Gerald, you get to have the election integrity issue, right? It's like giving them cards because that's what they're doing. They don't give a fuck about any of these issues. But Chris gets to send email campaigns on behalf of the Democratic National Committee. Yes, we must stop racism, da, 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 George Floyd, blah, blah, blah. And he will raise $7 billion sending out those emails, right? And then Gerald will send out emails. Yeah, we need to get rid of these brown people, these illegal aliens. They're stealing white people's jobs, American, da, da, da. And he'll raise $7 billion off that. Chris will then send out some emails on abortion. He gets another $3 billion off that. Gerald will then send out some emails supporting, oh my God, we got to stop election fraud. And then the Democrats will say there is no election fraud. You see, they've taken issues and they've literally divvied them up. And they're just money-making enterprises. They have no real principled desire to even change any of these issues. So this is why what's great with the ballot image issues, we're going to expose in the light of day, here is election fraud taking place right now in Massachusetts, where the government of Massachusetts said, in our election, they're going to delete ballot images. They said it in courtroom testimony. And we asked Carmeet Dillon and Todd Blanche to enforce the violation of this law, silence. So Trump only will talk about election integrity, cha-ching, 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 when he can make money, okay? So we are explaining this to people. Rahm Emanuel, I don't know if you know who he is, the mayor of Chicago, the brother of Ari Emanuel, you know, who owns UFC, WWE, Endeavor, owns every Hollywood actor and actress, part of the Mossad crime family, the Emanuel brothers, and there's another one too. But Rahm Emanuel now is saying, yes, I too am against the current administration in Israel. And yes, we must stop, we must have, you know, punishment for people who kill Palestinians. What was he doing for the last 60 years of his life? But they're getting data. Okay, the Democrats are going to own that issue because the Republicans don't want to own the issue. You see what I'm saying? They take issues. Okay, you get like trading cards, like baseball trading cards. You get these cards, and we all raise money off of them. And then they have two opposition candidates. So that's what these guys do. And that's what's so great with this fact that Todd Blanch and Harmeet Dhillon are silent as the enforcement division of the United States government, that absolute election fraud is taking place right now, and they're not doing anything about it. Why? Because we're an independent movement. We're an independent candidate. Election fraud, you don't talk about it when it comes to actual principled issues. Okay? So our campaign teaches people this, and we're out there, but we're on the ballot. So I want to thank a couple of people. I want to thank, first of all of everyone here is in the movement who made lots of phone calls. We want to thank people like Edward Zach, who's a dentist, and his wife, Anne, who drove all the way from Connecticut to help collect signatures. Barb, Heard, Nicholas Lupo, Hunter Day, Nicholas, jump in if I miss anyone, Sandy Garifano, Cherry, Rosen, who else?
Mike Mosca,
Emily, Noel, and Henry, Crystal, and you go down, and there's lots of people, Suresh, who helped in many, many ways. Marianne, making phone calls. All of you made phone calls. I mean, pretty much everyone here made phone calls to help out. So us getting on the ballot, this is from a movement. And this is why the grifter media complex will not cover us. And we don't expect them to. The way we go out is independently with that little flyer, very powerful flyer. That is the order of the day right now, and making phone calls into Massachusetts, right? Our phone, our flyer, that's it. We don't rely on them at all. So any questions on this process? Again, Massachusetts is the toughest state to get on the ballot. Other states, you just simply collect the signatures and you just take it to the Secretary of State, one stop. We got to go to 351 places, back and forth, sometimes multiple times. So how can working people afford that, you know? Time, energy, et cetera. But we have dedicated volunteers who are highly conscious, who are willing to make those sacrifices to do that. Anything else on this process? Do you notice the hoops they make you run through is really not about anything except to keep people off? And that's why they don't want to cover us, because they're like, shit, these guys are actually overcoming all of the hurdles we're putting in front of them. Let's see a question here. Okay. So anyone's welcome to come. We have a bunch of podcasts coming up with some pretty interesting podcasters. Questions? Comments? Observations? People can, you know, those of you guys have been involved in this, feel free to, you know, say anything you want, because I think it's a pretty historic thing that just took place, us being the first on the ballot without raising tens of millions of dollars. Catherine Suisse, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say this is like, for me, and I haven't been so involved in getting pledges, but I want to say this is just like a major turning point. Nothing like this is happening on planet Earth right now. This is phenomenal. And if I can make it out there before October to help with those flyers, my essence is out there. I want to so much come out there. So thank you all in this movement and all the people around the world that's making this happen. This is like the angels are at our side with this. This is incredible. I'm so proud of this movement.
Thanks, Catherine. Hey, Catherine's out in Oregon. Catherine's a nurse, and Catherine's making phone calls in the middle of all the other stuff that she does. So everyone can participate. Someone just put a question out there. Dr. Shiva, are we the people going to see arrests at high levels for corrupt government officials? Are we supporting citizens who want to see arrests? We're not going to see any arrests of these scumbags, because why would the scumbag who's running the systems, you know, throw one of his own scumbags in jail It's a scumbag system. The important thing is to expose to others that justice is not going to come from them. It's going to come from us. And it's not going to happen by just doing one action. It's going to happen by every day, like a farmer going to work and doing the work. And I want to explain this again. It's a repeated lesson. There is no, you know, resurrection taking place. There's no, you know, angels coming from heaven. There's no Rama descending from the skies. Okay. There's none of that's going to happen. What is going to happen is that if we don't build a movement brick by brick by brick, and if we don't recognize we have to incorporate truth, freedom, health into our daily lives in terms of maybe spending 20 minutes, you know, just like you would do some type of thing to support your own advancement, we've created an infrastructure for people to have a real civic responsibility. That's what's ultimately going to change the world, raising people's consciousness. Cursing at the darkness is not going to do anything. You know, we're lighting candles by raising people's consciousness through the curriculum, the movement, Truth, Freedom, Health that we've created, and, you know, running for office with the focus, intention of growing that movement as a part of a larger movie in many ways that we are writing and directing and creating. So that's what we're doing. Someone said, is Shiva running for president, Senate and president? Yes, we're doing both. Right now, we're running for Senate. And if we win the Senate seat, we'll continue running for president. But our running in these elections is not about the election, but it's about bringing up issues on the meager platforms they give everyday people and to use those opportunities to raise everyone's consciousness. So we're doing both, which is fine. Okay. That's what we're doing. So this is Wing Definity. Wing, get involved. Someone, Suresh, you may want to let him know on YouTube that he can, you know, how he can volunteer and get involved so he can actually do something practical. I mean, his questions are interesting, but we don't want him to just get lost in his own world. He can actually step out and get involved and do something. Someone says, 20 hours a week, living wages. I'm not sure what that means. You know what he means by that? I'm not sure. 20 hours a week. I'm not sure what he means by that. Anyone want to explain that? Nick?
Is he talking about they want to work, make us work less a week? Like, I don't know.
Oh, like, I don't know if he's talking about UBI. So if you notice, Elon Musk is a big proponent of this thing called UBI, Universal Basic Income, which basically says that you take people and you use AI to eliminate jobs. And then let's say someone is making $200,000 or $100,000 a year, you're going to put them on a basic income of maybe $40K. All right. So you're just feeding him to basically survive. And he basically doesn't even have to work, but he's just subsisting. So that's what UBI is, because as AI gets more and more prevalent and deployed, there is going to be a section of people whose jobs will be replaced. And because of their lack of skill or their skill sets now being absorbed by AI, what will they do with their livelihood? Well, nothing, because there's no jobs left for them. So the goal is they will just get fed like animals in a cage of sorts, you know, curated like a Disneyland. So those people who have infinite power, who own the AI infrastructure. So, and Elon Musk has said this, oh, we don't want a revolt. So they're going to keep people sustained. And this was a discussion between Aldous Huxley and George Orwell. I forget which one said this. One thought there was going to be, you know, the swarm would put their heels on people's heads, people would revolt up. The other guy said, no, that's not what's going to happen. We're just going to keep people quiet, just give them just enough so they never rise up. So the latter, which is sort of the smarter way of oppressing people, rather than putting a boot heel to their face, is what Elon Musk is promoting, you know? keep the rat in the cage and feed the rat. We want to get the rat out of the cage, okay? We don't want to just keep feeding the rat in the cage. That's what Elon Musk wants to do. So he can continue to do what he's doing. And this is what he learned from being in apartheid South Africa. You know, that's where he comes from. They did this to 3% of the population, did this to 97% of the people. And he thinks he was oppressed in that model. It's not true. Okay. Frank just entered the waiting room. We should admit him. Okay. Any other observations, questions? Diane's here. Diane and Nick. Diane, by the way, a lot of people helped us with the lawsuit. Diane and Nick worked on it together. Jolanta has helped us print the flyers, being out in Illinois. Anyway, I just want to thank everyone. This is our collective victory, and everyone should feel really, really proud of themselves that we're the first on the ballot. And if you're on social media, you can DM these people or say, if you see them discussing Markey and this other guy, say, why aren't you discussing the only candidate who's officially on the ballot certified? Why are you doing this kind of censorship? And they won't respond, but at least you have a screenshot of them not responding. So if anyone ever says, oh, why didn't you talk to XYZ grifter? You can say, I did. See, they don't cover news. They just are part of the grifter media complex. So you can have fun with this. Be creative with this. Anything else? All right. So I'm going to let the team, I think Eileen's doing a great job running the meeting today. By the way, one of the things we do is we have an entire leadership training program. We have people who can just come in as warrior scholars. They can come in as leaders. Part of that is it's not dependent on any one individual. We have a lot of redundancy and resilience. So people run these meetings. People learn how to articulate the message. So our entire movement is decentralized, and it has a lot of redundancy, which is great. Anything else? I'll let you guys continue. But I would encourage everyone, if you're not onboarded onto the systems, help make phone calls, do that now. Support each other, and let's win this election. We have a huge opportunity in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more question. How can we get some arrest of corrupt authorities and others? Well, one path to getting these arrests is, first of all, I have to expose to people the inequity. So this lawsuit that we're about to file will expose how the Department of Justice, the Republican Department of Justice, and the Democrats collude together. So that's the first step. Awareness is more important than, you know, hoping these people are actually going to take any action. They're not going to take anything to do anything against their own. So let's not have any illusions about that. All right, everyone. Thanks, Eileen.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Yep, be well. Be the light. Thanks.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right, the Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.